Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording. Today is April 21st, 2019, Islamic Studies class. Its topic is Hadith and Hadith of the Intention. The narration of Hadith and the Hadith of Intentions. Let's start by them narrating the Hadith. Okay, here is the Prophet. Here's the Prophet. Says... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, just like here.
Can we go next door? They have donuts.
Towards the end, you can go grab a donut.
Really?
Towards the end of the class.
Okay.
So now, let's have something more precious than donuts. Which is the Hadith. Hadith are the sayings and the actions of the Prophet, which is called Sunnah too. Okay? Saying and actions of the Prophet. Okay, this is Hadith. And this is, let's say, me. How do I know, how do I learn about Hadith? I go to, there are six Hadith books. I've just listed one, two, three, four of them. Noor. I listed four of them. Okay? These are four Hadith books. Actually, yeah, I should have said that instead of Imam, I said book. But anyway. And this is, if I want, I open Bukhari book and I see the Hadith in it. So I learn the Hadith from where? Bukhari book. Or from Imam Muslim books. Sorry. Imam Muslim book. Or Imam Malik, or Imam Tirmidhi, or there is about six most authentic them. Like, so if you or me or anybody wants to know about a Hadith, you need to go to one of these books. What is the most authentic book? Bukhari. Now, so here is the Prophet, and Bukhari is here. How, definitely Bukhari didn't hear the Prophet saying the Hadith. Someone else witnessed the Hadith. Okay? So, that one who witnessed the Hadith, what's your name?
Adina.
I always confuse you with Aiza. Okay. So, person X narrated from the Prophet. Person Y narrated from person X. Person Imam Bukhari narrated from. What do you mean by narrated? Heard it. So you say, I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, intentions, deeds are rewarded according to the intention. Okay? And whomsoever intends Allah and His Messenger, Allah and His Messenger would reward him. And whosoever intended other, then let him with us. I'll leave him with this other. Okay? That's a Hadith that we will be talking about called the Hadith of the Intention. But I want to give you brief explanation to the chain of narrations. So, this is called chain. Prophet X, Y, Imam Bukhari, it's a chain. Prophet, this person, Imam Bukhari, the chain. Prophet, this person, Imam Bukhari, is a chain. So these are called chains of narration. So basically what Imam Bukhari did, the most authentic book after Quran in this whole world, the most authentic or correct book after Quran is Imam Bukhari's book. Why? He had a very, very tough criteria. With the people who tell him, who knows, he will hear that Sausan has a hadith, heard a hadith from the Prophet. So he will go and travel and be a guest of Sausan. Okay? And then he's going to watch her. How is her memory doing? How is the memory doing? Can she remember or she forgets? How biased she is? How righteous is she? Does she lie? Even joke? Even if it's joke lying? He wouldn't let it. He wouldn't. Joke lying, he would rule it out. Okay, so there was a guy. This is one of the very famous story. There was a guy who narrated the hadith from the Prophet. Imam Bukhari heard that. So he went, traveled to interview the guy. So what he does in the Arabian traditions, if you get a guest, you host this guest for 3 days without asking him, why are you here? 3 days. Now, the fourth day, you can ask him, why are you here? But the first 3 days, no. So he arrived as a guest, and then he went to that person. So this person welcomed him because of generous Arabian generosity, the typical Arabian generosity. So come in, and he came. He stayed 3 days. While he stayed, he found that this guy is good in memory, good in everything, but he did something that made him, Imam Bukhari, refuse to accept the hadith from him. Okay? He had the camel running away. When you feed the camel, you put the food in your dress and you left the dress like that and see camel, hey, so that the camel will come and eat from your dress, like the food here. You understand what I'm saying?
Or you can use a bowl.
You can use what?
A bowl.
Bowl?
A bowl.
No, camel.
Yeah, why? Wait,
on the dress.
This is the easiest way.
The man has to go, hold on.
This particular man was feeding the camel from his dress like this. He puts the food here and then he does the camel like that. The camel comes and eats. Now, one day the camel ran away and he could not catch the camel. So he did the same thing. He left his dress and said, but he didn't have food in it. So he was deceiving the camel, right? He was deceiving the camel.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
He backed up his stuff and he started leaving, Imam Bukhari. So the guy said, oh, my dear guest, who are you and what have you been doing here? He said, I am Bukhari. I heard that you narrated this hadith on the Prophet, but so I went to see who you are. I sat with you, I observed you, and I found out that you lied to the camel. So I'm not going to accept hadith from you. You see how tough is the guy? This is why they say the most authentic book after Quran is the book of Imam Bukhari. He was so, his criteria was so strict, was so tough, that he wouldn't let hadith come in his book without authenticating it the most way it could be authenticated. Very, very difficult criteria. Now, Imam Muslim relieved this criteria, make it less tough, so he got more hadith. Imam Bukhari has 4,000 hadith not repeated. 4,000 hadith, because hadith might repeat it with different wordings. Because one guy heard the Prophet at what time, another guy heard from the Prophet the other time, the Prophet said it both ways. So you'll see the same hadith narrated both ways. The verbatim, the actual words are different, but the meaning is the same. So you made this criteria less strict, you get about, 8,000? And then Imam Bukhari Malik was even more, and Imam Ahmad, Imam bin Ahmad. Bin Hanbal. Okay? So, you understand now the witnesses who testify that they heard it from the Prophet? Would they accept any guy? No, it has to be a known guy. Known. His name, his life. When did he die? Because sometimes one person narrates the hadith from another person, but they never met. Then this is what? Excluded, like thrown away. Maybe a guy narrated the hadith. When this guy was born, the other guy was already dead. Then this is taken out. This hadith is rejected. Okay? So very, very difficult criteria. So, from the Prophet, from the prophet to Imam X, you have prophet told Imam X, Imam person X, person X told person Y told person Z, person Z told one of those Imam. Okay? Now, what do you think about a hadith narrated by 40 people who don't know each other, but they narrate the same hadith? Could it ever be wrong? Impossible. 40 people who don't know each other, okay, narrate the same hadith. One in Egypt, one in Syria, one in Iran, one in Morocco. They all narrate the same hadith. Morocco. Morocco. Okay. Okay. You understand here what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
If 40 people, all of them narrate the same hadith, then it's 100%, it's 1,000,000,000% that this hadith is correct. This called, see, the Prophet, the hadith that we are been talking about today, The hadith reached to Umar using 40 different narrations. 40 people told him the same hadith, that they don't know each other. So that is called mutawatir. You know, this is closed. There is no doubt in the authenticity of hadith. I'll give you a joke related to that. Look at this joke. There were guys supposed to take exam. I think they were three of them. Now, in the day, the exam was on Monday. So in the weekend, Friday, they went to Las Vegas. Las Vegas. And then the tires. Who doesn't know about that tires thing? The joke? Okay, hold on. Then few people didn't hear it. Okay, so basically, they got drunk Sunday night. They didn't wake up until the time of exam was gone. So when they were driving back, they thought about a lie. So they said, okay, we'll go to the teacher and tell him that while we were driving to the exam, we had a flat tire. So that's why we're late. While we were driving back to the city where we take the exam, we got a flat tire. It's a lie, right? It's a lie.
I mean,
so they were think about a lie. So the lie was, hey, teacher, we wanted to come on time, but we got a flat tire. Sorry. So the teacher, can we have a makeup exam? Can we have a makeup exam? Can we have a makeup exam? So professor said, oh, sure. Yeah, no problem. Come back to me tomorrow. And we're going to give you a makeup exam. They come tomorrow. He puts every one of them in one room. And the question was, which tire is it? So, why? Because there's only one right answer and a zillion wrong answers. This is always the case. Yes. In other words, people cannot agree on the same lie. The same lie, okay? This is, when 40 people are narrating the same hadith, it's impossible that this hadith is not authentic. And this hadith, what we're talking about, is the first hadith in the Imam Bukhari book. The very first hadith of Imam Bukhari, which was the intention, the hadith of the intention. It was narrated intention. It was narrated by 40 different people who do not know each other, and it's impossible for them to come up with the same lie. Yes.
Can I get water?
Yes. So the hadith says, this hadith is the first hadith in Imam Bukhari book, which is the most authentic book after Quran, Imam Bukhari. It is the first hadith. This first hadith says that, which we're going to explain today, the hadith of the intention. The wording of the hadith is that deeds are considered based on the intention. Deeds are rewarded or based on the intention. That's the hadith. Whomsoever did something for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, we, Allah and His Messenger, will reward him. Whomsoever did travel to marry a woman to do a business, then his reward is either that woman or that business or whatever he came for, whatever the purpose come for. And this hadith came after the Prophet heard that there is a guy, there is a woman who traveled. Her name is Qais. Qais. So she traveled to Medina. She became a believer and she traveled to Medina. When she traveled to Medina, immigrated to Medina, a man immigrate who wants to marry her, who loved her so much and he wants to marry her, he immigrated as well. He immigrated, he followed her to marry her. So the Prophet said, whomsoever married, whomsoever immigrated for the purpose of marriage, then his immigration is the marriage. I'm sorry, his reward is the marriage. So if you come, if you do something not for the sake of Allah, then your reward is whatever you get from it. Okay? All right. So this hadith was narrated by 40 different people. And it is, all scholars agree that this hadith is one-third of Islam. One-third of Islam, this hadith by itself, represents one-third of Islam. And the other remaining two-thirds are not any good without it. The two-thirds of Islam without that hadith is not good. Okay? Why? We should be motivated by what? What are the motivations that we should do deeds for? We should be motivated by? I'll give you one. Jannah, that's right. Huh? I'll give her one. You say Jannah? Love of Allah? Eh, who can get me the third? Jannah or love of Allah? Huh? The fear of hellfire. If you do have other intentions, then it's not the deed that Allah will reward you for. Okay? So, any other, like showing off, like running for elections? Yes. So, I am running for election. Everybody, I am running for election. Okay? And then a party. We make a party. And then the party. He wants, remember, he wants to show, donate money because he wants to be popular, because he wants people to vote for him. So, donating this money, is it for the sake of Allah?
No.
No, it's for the sake of whatever he wants. So, when he's giving money, he's doing like this. So I'm a very, very generous person. I'm donating money for you. Everybody, hold on. Where is 6 o'clock news? Come, 6 o'clock news. I am the generous X. I'm the generous X. Or I'm the generous Ali. I am donating money to the poor Sausa. Okay, look everybody, you're showing off. Why? Because you want people to be, you want to be popular, because you want people to. You can keep it. You want another one?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. Okay, so. Now, girls, have make me forget what I was talking about.
You're trying to show off.
Yes. So, this hadith is one-third of Islam. The other remaining two-thirds are not any good without. Why? Because you must set your intentions. Sometimes you do something without intention. No, you must think about the intention. I'm doing it this way. I'm doing it for Allah and His Messenger. I'm not doing it for anything else. Okay. Two people. One, both of them are sitting in the same exact fundraising. Okay? They are sitting in the same exact, what? fundraising. Both of them donated $1,000. One of them will go to Jannah, and the other one will go to hell for donating $1,000. Which one goes to Jannah? What's the difference? The same deed, the same place, the same organization, the same amount?
The intention.
Exactly. Because one intended Allah, then to please Allah, then Allah would be pleased with him. Someone else is intending other than Allah, then this becomes a punishment for him. I mean, he was going to actually be punished by Allah for showing off. Not only that he was not going to get the deed, but he also punished by Allah for the show off. Okay. To show you, I'll give you two more jokes about the intention. You know, people shouldn't brag about what they're doing, right? So there was this guy praying in the masjid, Allahu Akbar. And his heart became so much attached with Allah that while he's reading Quran, started crying out of the fear of Allah and love of Allah. So he started crying. So now his friends came from the back door and they saw him. So they started talking to each other. MashaAllah, look at Brother Ali. Look at him. He's so pious. Look at him. He's a very strong believer. Look at him crying when he's reading Quran, crying when he's because he wants to please Allah. So Ali was praying. When he heard them saying that, he said, "Assalamu alaikum." And I, wallahi, I am fasting too. Who got the joke? Okay. All right. There is another joke. Another joke. A guy who used to pray, make a lousy prayer. Like Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Sama'allah, Muhammad, blah, blah, blah. Speed of light. Okay? He was. And then, but while he was praying this like super duper quick, bad, unacceptable prayer. Okay. He heard noise from the back coming from the door. So now, he started perfecting his prayer. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil, taking his time. Perfection. Then he made salam. After he's done, he made salam. And he looked to see who's the guy. He found a dog. A dog. The one. So he was showing off to who?
A dog.
Dog. Okay. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people are classified as four. One of these four. People are classified as one of those four. What are these four? A rich person who has knowledge. A rich person or a righteous rich. A righteous rich.
Brother, I need to know the count of students. 12?
12.
12? Thank you.
Sure. So, you know what to do if there's a mass shooting? You know what to do?
You run away. No.
You go under the desk. Anyway. Go under your scarf. Anyway, people are classified into how many categories?
18,000.
Four. According to the criteria we're mentioning, it's four. The first one is rich, righteous. How is he supposed to use his money, the rich and righteous? Spending money for the sake of Allah. A lot of money. A lot of money from his wealth. Maybe two-thirds of his wealth. Maybe one-third of his wealth are spent for the sake of who? Himika and what's your name?
Jannah.
Okay. One-third spends a lot of money for the sake of Allah. Okay? That's a righteous rich. And there is a righteous poor. What would you think the difference between the righteous rich and the righteous poor? Yes, the righteous rich pays a lot of money for the sake of Allah. How about the righteous poor?
Cares.
Is he paying money?
No.
Why?
Because
he doesn't. Okay? Then the prophet made like this, his fingers like that. And he said they are equally rewarded. Because the poor people had a desire, the poor person, the righteous poor had a desire. Ya Allah, if you give me money, I'll be just like him. Even better. Okay? Did he donate anything?
No.
He's getting by the intention and not less reward. It's equal, exactly equal. So the rich donates $1,000. This doesn't donate anything. And both of them get the same exact reward from Allah. Why? Because the rich, the poor said, Ya Allah, if you would give me money, I would do like him. The intention, just by the intention. This is why this hadith is one third of Islam, because everything goes back to it. And then the Prophet said, there is a corrupt rich and a corrupt poor. The corrupt rich is spending his money disobeying Allah, throwing parties, bringing liquor, buying drugs, whatever. He's spending his money for the displeasing Allah and haram stuff. That's the wealthy, corrupt person. And there is a poor, corrupt person. He's not spending any money because he's poor. But he says that, Ya Allah, if you would give me money, I would do like this guy, who's the corrupt rich. So the Prophet said like this, they are equally punished. We understand that the rich is punished because of the evil deeds he did, like throwing parties and drugs and blah, blah, blah. Okay? We understand. But what's wrong? Why is this poor guy is getting the same punishment? Because of the
intention.
See how important the intention is? Mm-hmm. Now, the two righteous guys, they both have the same heart. The same heart. Similar hearts. That's why they get similar hasanat. And the two bad guys have similar hearts. And that's why they get similar amount of sayyat, or equal amount of sayyat. You can see how the intention is important. Okay. You see in the Quran, Allah criticizes the Jews. Not all Jews, he criticizes the Jews that didn't believe in the Prophet Muhammad at that time. And he was blaming them for the mistakes of their grandfathers, their ancestors. And Allah is saying, you killed the prophets, you gave this hard time, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. But he's talking about the Jews of today. I'm sorry, the Jews at the time of Muhammad. So how come Allah is blaming those Jews for the mistakes done by the previous Jews, the Jews before? Why? It's like Allah saying, I know you have eaten pork. I know you have killed this prophet. I know. But I am a Jew who's living at the time of the prophet. I didn't do that. These are my grandfathers who did that. Okay? There's, I think, a napkin box behind you. Oh, it has paper in it, right? Okay. You can use, what's your name? Samara, right? Samara?
Yeah.
You can use Samara's scarf.
What?
If you have the intention to use her scarf, but you didn't use it, okay, then it counts against you because you had the intention. Okay, so now let me give you the answer. How come Allah is blaming them? Because they have similar hearts. So the poor people who deny the Prophet Muhammad, deny his prophecy, say to Prophet Muhammad, we're not going to believe in you. Same hearts, they have the same hearts like the one who did kill the Prophet, like the ones who changed the religion of Allah, like the ones who did evil deeds. They have similar hearts. You understand this? Similar hearts. similar hearts get a similar reward. Like if your heart, if I am Bill Gates, and I donate $3 million, yes. Yeah, okay. And you donate, she coming, you use her scarf. Okay. Thank you for the kind thing. All right. So, what we were talking about?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, yes. Bill Gates donating $3 million. Okay, let's say, and he's a good, righteous person, donating $3 million. And you wish that you donate $3 million if Allah gives you the money. You wish that, right? You both of you have the similar heart, similar intention. So he pays $3 million, you get $3 million in your hasanat. Why? Because you just have a similar heart. So people who have similar hearts, Allah rewards them or punish them the same way. Okay? Let me ask you a question. How long people will worship Allah?
What?
How long people will worship Allah? A person. How long? Let's say 60 years, roughly. 70 years, right? 70 years of his life worshiping Allah, right? Allah gives him a Jannah for infinity. Allah gave him the Jannah for infinity. How come? He worshipped Allah only 70 years and he's getting infinite life in Jannah. How do you explain that? Huh? Smart girls. How do you explain that?
Because he always had the right intention.
Because if Allah would give him infinite life, he would have worshipped Allah infinite amount. You understand? So if there is an infinite life, he's going to worship Allah infinitely. Okay? So 70 years, he's going to worship Allah. 1,000 years, he's going to worship Allah. So Allah is rewarding him for the intentions. Because he intends that if he lives any number of years, he will always be worshiping Allah. Then Allah will judge him according to his intention. Reward him according to his intention. How about the other way around? If people disobey Allah, they disobey Allah, what, 70, 60 years of one's life? Then Allah gives them infinite hellfire. Infinite. How come they disobeyed Allah 70 years and they're getting infinite punishment?
Because if they have infinite life, they would keep disobeying.
Good job. If they have infinite life, they will keep disobeying. So Allah, based on the intention, Allah sends them to hellfire. Okay. Now, there is something about the hearts. Do you think there's only Hitler heart? Do you think there's only one Hitler?
No.
There could be now a Hitler living among us, or many Hitlers, or 100 Hitlers. Okay, they both have the same heart as Hitler. It means that if we take Hitler and put them, they will do the same thing. They are Hitlers. Why Allah is not letting them do what Hitler did? Why Allah is stopping them from doing what Hitler did? Even though they have the same heart. Because Allah wants life to be decent. If Allah will let every evil person able to do his evil, life is going to go corrupt and life is not going to be possible. So the evil inside the heart is way, way, way much more than what you see in the streets or here and there. This is just, there is a lot of Hitlers and they will get punished like the Hitler did, but they didn't do what Hitler did. But because they have the similar heart, Allah knows that they have the same heart. And if he gives them the powers of Hitler, they will do the same way. Then they get punished equal to him. Same thing, the Pharaoh, dictators, Pharaohs. There is not only one Pharaoh. No, there are lots of Pharaohs around. But Allah is not allowing them to do their evil. Why? Because Allah wants life on earth to be possible, right? If Allah will let them do whatever they want, then life on earth is not going to be possible. We will have 100 Hitlers, man. Or we'll have, you know, or like 1,000 pharaohs. You understand that? So a person might not do a bad deed, but because of his heart, Allah would send him to hell. Okay? The only thing that stopped him from evil is that Allah stopped him. So that Allah will allow a little bit of evil to come in, but not much. So Allah, do you see the injustice around you? Do you see all these people that are poor and everything there? This is all because Allah let out part of the evil inside the hearts of the evil people. Allows only part of it. If Allah, listen to this, if Allah will let every person who has the heart of Hitler to do the acts of Hitler, we will not be able to live on earth. Do you understand this clearly? So both of them are going to Hitler. I'm sorry. All of those people will have the same punishment as Hitler. You understand what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Baiza, did you follow? Mm-hmm. What was it? Oh, you weren't listening? You want to get donuts? Huh? You want to get donuts?
Yes.
Okay. I'll leave you 5 minutes for donuts.
Really?
Yeah. Unless you're not paying attention. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the intention of the believer is better than his deeds. Why? The believer always intends in your heart. You say, wallahi, if I have, I'll buy a cow. But he doesn't buy a cow. But his intentions were always better than his deeds. Did I say it right? Yes, the intentions better than his good deeds. On the other hand, the hypocrite, his intentions are worse than his deeds. So he does something that looks from the outside good, but from the inside is rotten. Okay? All right. Okay, let's say you pray Fajr every day in the masjid. Let's say so. So let's say what?
You pray Fajr every day
in the masjid. Right? Okay. And one day you got sick. So you didn't make it in the masjid. Would Allah reward you? Give you the same reward? Why?
If you have the intention.
Okay. So, how about if you don't go to the masjid to pray Fajr at all, and you got sick? No, why not?
Because you never had intention.
Exactly. So when you do the thing, the good thing, okay, and you just, for some reason, you didn't do it, Allah will send an angel to pray Fajr on your behalf. Allah will send an angel to substitute for deeds on your deeds on your behalf. Okay? Why? Because you couldn't make it. Because you always made it, but because of this excuse, you couldn't make it. You got it? But if you don't pray at all, then no, Allah is not going to send an angel for you. Probably Allah is going to send you a shaitan. Okay. Now, what if you intend, you're a good person, intend to do a good deed, and then you change it your mind? Do you still get the good deeds?
No.
Okay. So if I plan to go to masjid to pray, I intend, but I didn't do it, for whatever reason. Just like, didn't just want to do it. You get one hasana. You get one good deed. How about if you do it, you get 10 up to 700. You know that. Deeds are not only 10, multiplied by 10. Depends on who you are and the level of difficulty, the level of sacrifice. It comes from 10 to 700. From 10 to 700. If you do it, if you don't do it, you get what?
One.
Even though you didn't do it, but Allah is generous. For your intention, Allah will give you one hasana. What if... So the guarding the intention is important because you could intend something sincere intentions at the beginning, but you lose your good intentions while doing the deed or after doing the deed. We'll talk about this later. because there's one important thing and we're writing Tairanga out of table. Okay. Rule of combining intentions. Okay. If you do the deed based on sincere intentions, but later on you feel proud of yourself and show off, say, I did this and that, would that work? No? Tickle her. Samia? What? What's your name? Naima? Naima? Naima. Naima in Arabic means sleepy. Naima. Okay. So, what we were talking about, combining intentions. Can I intend to go to the masjid and buy a gallon of milk on the way back?
Sure. Yeah.
But you went to buy a gallon of milk. It wasn't pure for Allah. Is that right? Okay. You can combine two good intentions. And going to the masjid, buying the milk, so good intention plus good intentions equals
great
intentions. That's right. Okay. Let's say you went to the masjid to show off and pray. And pray, perform prayers and show off. Okay. So that's what good intention plus bad intention equals
bad intentions.
You got it? Okay. So there is a table here. There are people who might start by good intention. And after the, before the deed, there is before the deed, during the deed, after the deed. There's what? Huh? Before the deed, huh? During the deed, and after the deed. Prior to the deed, you have a good intention. During the deed, you had good intention. After the deed, you showed off. You showed off. Then what happened to the all three? They are lost. They are wasted because you did show off in stage number three. You understand? So in order for the intentions to be good, in order for the intention to be good, it has to be good intentions before, good intentions during, and good intentions after. Okay? So if it's not good plus good plus good, other than that, it's bad intention. So what if somebody says, oh, mashallah, Sausan, you're very righteous, you're very good, you're very, very, very. How do you should reply?
Thank you.
No.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
No.
You can say thank you. No. You say, no, I'm not like that. No. You say, alhamdulillah. First, you say alhamdulillah. And then say, and thank you. So first you say what? Alhamdulillah. And then thank that person. Now why are you saying Alhamdulillah?
Thanks to Allah.
Why?
Allah gave me because
Allah made me that good. Okay. Allah made me that good. Okay. Next time. I want donuts too, so I'm following you.
Alaikum salam. The Arabic class at a game.
Yes. What's your name?
Mushtaba.
Mushtaba. Come, Mushtaba. I have a lot of homework for you. Mushtaba. Mushtaba.
This one, not mine. And that's the one I'm just doing here.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.